Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, John Jastrzemski of SNY and The Ringer will join us. We'll go over Cowboys-Eagles, get his thoughts on the NFL season, picks for week one, survivor thoughts, maybe get his thoughts on Major League Baseball, Yankees, and all these pennant races too. So a lot to talk about. It is the best time of the year, man. You get these baseball pennant races, you get the NFL beginning, college football, just a great time. And we will get to the Cowboys-Eagles in a second, but I have to spend a minute here. Last time we talked was on Monday, previewing UNC and TCU, and I said, you know, I don't know what to expect. I could see either team, you know, winning a blowout. I thought it'd be lower scoring. The under did not get home. Two defensive touchdowns, of course, not going to help that, but boy, what an embarrassment this was for UNC. As someone who's rooting for this to work for Belichick, for UNC, you know, knowing Lombardi, the GM, I'm rooting for this to work. You cannot have a more discouraging start to the Belichick and UNC era. They started hot. They started right away. Get the ball, boom, 7-0. They get a stop. You're thinking, oh, wow, is this going to be something? We get a little juice here with Belichick and UNC. They're on the right track. You know, he's coaching them up. What can Belichick build? And since that moment, from that moment on, it was an absolute bloodbath, a complete embarrassment for Belichick. And I don't think it's an overreaction to watch that game and sit here and wonder about the shelf life of this thing for Belichick and UNC and his desire, his appetite, and his enthusiasm to do this at this age. He's 73 years old. To sit here and what is going to be probably a longer term project to build this up and get the recruits. And look, you know, those Super Bowls he won are a long time ago now. So these kids that are 16, 17, 18 year olds that he's trying to recruit, you know, are they going to care that he won a Super Bowl in 2014 or that he won a Super Bowl in 2003? I mean, maybe they probably should in one aspect. You know what? He can improve your game and he can get you to the next level, you would think. But if you got a chance to go to Georgia or Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State or Michigan or any of these big time schools, obviously the money plays a factor in it now too with the NIL. But if you got a chance to go anywhere, how many of these guys are going to choose UNC and say, well, Belichick won us, you know, a bunch of Super Bowls a while ago. I'm going to go play for Belichick, who, by the way, is tough, you know, tough on the players too, notoriously tough on the players. I don't know. I mean, they looked like they did not have anywhere near the same talent as, you know, forget the upper echelon schools or forget competing for an ACC. I mean, this TCU team that's a, you know, borderline top 25 team, a good team, but this is not Alabama, Georgia, you know, Ohio State. This is not one of the elite teams. And TCU just ran them off the field. So can he get the players? You know, does he have the appetite and the energy to build this thing from the bottom? And this thing is from the bottom, man. You're down, you know, 48-7 at TCU on your home building. I mean, that's about as from the bottom as it gets. Does he have the energy to do it? I don't know. I would think a year from now, you're going to ask me, hey, a year from now, is he coaching this team? I'd say probably. I'd say probably. Yeah, it's probably the favorite. Yes, it's probably the favorite. But is he coaching the team? If the question is he coaching the team 2 years from now, I'd say no is probably the favorite and yes is the underdog. I was very discouraged by how it went. You throw in his age. And look, how are you going to recruit? Of course, he won all the Super Bowls, but you know, this product you're putting on the field is not going to exactly attract the top-end talent. You know, to come to your school. And if you can't get the top end talent, I think we're past the point, especially at his age, where Belichick is going to just uplift whatever you give him. Just give him an average college team and he's going to transform them into, you know, a really good team, an upper echelon bowl team, even if it's not a college football playoff team. I think we're past that point with Belichick. I mean, again, not to keep bringing up his age, but, you know, he is 73 years old. It doesn't appear to have the talent. And where is the talent coming from? Maybe he just hits a home run in this year's recruiting class and he's able to get in the players, but there is a possibility. I know a lot of people thought maybe this is going to be a disaster. Those people certainly after 60 minutes of football seem to be on the right track that maybe Belichick is just a fish out of water here in the college game and all the pro people he brought with him are fishes out of water. And he liked the idea of, hey, North Carolina's going to hire me. I'm going to get all this, you know, publicity. People tell me how great I am. Everyone excited to have me. I think there was an element of that too, where Belichick was just excited to be wanted and North Carolina wanted him. And they were, you know, they could make all of this, you know, get all this publicity for having Belichick as the coach. But does he really want to, at this stage of his life, put in, this isn't a question of his work ethic, but does he really want to endure what's going to have to be endured in order to build this UNC program? That was ugly on Monday night. And this is, you know, it's not the NFL draft where you can reshape your roster, a couple good picks. You got to really get people to want to come to your school. And I don't know why they're going to want to come to UNC after watching that. Again, unless he's got something up his sleeve in terms of a recruiting class or a transfer portal. Disappointed to say, but it's hard to be optimistic after what you watched on Monday with TCU absolutely just burying North Carolina. I'm sure ESPN was not happy too. They had all this excitement, all this juice. Michael Jordan's there. LT's there. They got this exciting Monday night game, Labor Day standalone. And it was actually only 10-7 with a couple minutes left in the half. UNC gets a pick. They've got the ball. All right, we'll see if they can maybe tie it heading into half. They throw a pick six, and then the floodgates just open from there. TCU adds a field goal. TCU takes it to the house the first play of the drive, the first play of the second half, I should say. And it just went from bad to worse to even worse to just an embarrassment. And that was an embarrassment on Monday night for UNC and for Belichick. And I hope it gets better. I hope we sit here in a year from now, 2 years from now, and say, oh man, we all overreacted. How could we doubt Belichick? It was only one game. Of course he was going to build it right. I guess that's possible. But again, that certainly seems like the more unlikely outcome at this point based on what we saw Monday. And just, his age and the nature of college sports, I don't know that people are just going to come flocking to play for UNC football. So, I'm sitting here. I hope to be wrong. I'm rooting for it to work. I really want it to work. I think it'll be fun. It'd be cool for Belichick to have another act, a last chapter here where he's this big-time college coach and he's getting UNC into the playoffs and he's got this powerhouse college football program. That would be fun. I would love to see it. But I don't know how you think that or have that opinion with any sort of confidence after what you saw on Monday. UNC will play this week. They play Charlotte. They are a 14-point road favorite. I don't know how you're laying the points after what you watched with North Carolina. I don't know much about Charlotte, but I'm not laying 14 with UNC. It reminds me of the Charles Barkley line when it was the original U.S. Dream Team of Jordan and Bird and Magic and Barkley and Ewing. You go down the line, Karl Malone, this great U.S. Dream Team. And their first game was against Angola. And somebody asked Barkley the night before the game, he said, hey, what do you know about your first opponent tomorrow? And Barkley famously said, I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble. And that's kind of the opposite here with Charlotte. I don't know much about Charlotte, but I'm not laying 14 points with this UNC team against anybody. So it would be Charlotte taking the 14. I would imagine that continues to go down too. So Charlotte plus 14, I would recommend as a bet just because the sheer line value. I know they'll come out motivated, all this stuff. That just looked like a bad team. Plus the quarterback got hurt on top of it, Lopez. So I would look towards taking the 14 with Charlotte without knowing much about them. I don't know how you lay two touchdowns with that UNC bunch you saw here on Labor Day. Before we get to JJ, Cowboys and Eagles Thursday night, the NFL season kicks off. So excited for it. We're up to 8.5 in some spots. I would not be surprised if this closes 9 for the sheer fact that 8.5, that is still prime teaser zone where people look at the Eagles and then maybe look at a game like the Broncos against the Titans, both in that 8 range, and say, you know what? I could tease the Eagles under a field goal. I could tease the Broncos under a field goal. Both teams just have to pretty much win the game, and I'm in good shape with my teaser. I think you might see some of these numbers get bumped up to 9 just for teaser protection. I would look towards the Cowboys. I can certainly understand, last time we saw the Eagles, they were pounding the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. They killed the Commanders in the NFC Championship game. I understand that we're a prisoner of the last thing we saw, and it's a dangerous team to bet against. And certainly there's a path where Philly comes out with that home crowd, with their dominant team, just well-balanced, good running attack, good front seven, all the weapons they have both sides of the ball, and Philly runs them out of the building. I can certainly see that. And if this game were on Sunday at 1, would I be betting it? I'm not sure. But it's first game of the season. People want picks. I will go with Dallas. I will take the 8.5 points. You can get that at DraftKings. I just think it's a little too much. And if this means anything to you, Dak has won 4 out of the last 5 against Philly. He is, he's done a nice job for his career, better than you would expect. Because these Philly teams, you could say, oh, those are irrelevant. Those are teams of the past, which is true. But these Eagle teams have been good basically, throughout Dak's career. Dak is 9-4 for his career versus the Eagles. He's won 4 out of the last 5. And he's missed some games against them. He did play against them last year when they had a really good team. But Philly may be a little shaky in the secondary. Dallas, I do think, is going to have a good passing game. I think Pickens is going to have a big year. And if you're looking for a player prop, FanDuel has Pickens over 55.5 receiving yards in a game where, theoretically, Dallas is the big underdog, is going to be trailing and throwing the ball a lot late. I could see Pickens going from a scenario where he was in Pittsburgh, You know, he's a temperamental guy, but he's talented. And he's in Pittsburgh. It's a run-heavy offense, a run-first offense. You know, bad weather, bad quarterback play. Now he's going to be in Dallas. He's got Lamb. He's got a good quarterback. The weather will be fine here Thursday night, you'd think. I like Pickens over 55.5 yards, and I will go with Dallas to cover the 8.5. I could see – I think Philly probably wins the game. I could see a scenario late, though, where – and Dallas is down by like 10 points and they have the ball and they drive and either kick a field goal to get in the back door or score a touchdown and go out to get in the back door. I do think Philly wins, but I think this is a little bit inflated here. And I do think the longer you wait, the better number you will get here with the Cowboys. So a few picks here. Charlotte plus 14 in college football, Cowboys plus 8.5, and George Pickens over 55.5 receiving yards are the plays. We'll see what John Jastrzemski thinks from the Ringer. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. One of our favorite guests. You catch him on SNY, The Ringer, in New York Pod. It is the great John Jastrzemski. JJ, what's up, man? Thanks for coming on. It's football season, baseball, pennant races. Great time of the year. How's it going?
Well, all is good, my man. I am ready for week one. I am sick and tired of talking about futures bets. I cannot wait to dive into this card starting on Thursday. And they really do a number on us because we get a game Thursday night. Now we have the international game on Friday. I'm not complaining about it, but we do have a game on Friday. Saturday, full slate of college football. Sunday, week one. Mix in a little baseball. Wonderful time of the year, amigo.
Yeah, it sure is. Let's start with the Thursday game here. Cowboys-Eagles up to 8.5 in some spots. Wouldn't be surprised if it closes 9 just to get people off of the teasers. I could see a lot of people teasing the Eagles with like the Broncos to get them both below a field goal. I don't love the game. I know people always want to pick for the first game. I guess I would lean towards when in doubt, take the points. But I could also see Philly rolling here. Do you have any strong opinion here in terms of the number?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I'm going to be in Vegas for 48 hours. Got to go sign up for the contest on Wednesday and Thursday. And I'm going to be at the book for the game on Thursday night. And I can tell you point blank, I will wait until the last possible minute, and I'm going to bet the Cowboys because this line has just gotten too out of control. I understand the Eagles are a better team. I know what all the narratives are with the Cowboys. If you look historically speaking, Prescott's played a lot of close games with the Eagles. The Eagles also have some concerns in the back end of their secondary. Would I say it's one of my favorite three picks of the week? Of course not. Is it maybe pending doom and disaster to go and take a Cowboy team that's been in the middle of all this turmoil and destruction? Sure. I'm going to wait. I feel like the public's just going to keep coming in with more and more Eagles, and I'll bide my time. And I don't know if I'll get better than 8.5, Will. I'm not sure I'm going to get better than 8.5, but I'm more than willing to wait. I will be betting the Cowboys on Thursday.
Did you think the Parsons trade was as bad as everyone else seemed to think it was?
So my issue with the Parsons trade, you want to tell me you don't want to pay the guy $40 or $50 million a year at that particular position? There's an argument for that. One, why is this trade happening a week before the season? Why wasn't this trade happening with way more teams involved, with, dare I say, a way better package involved? You trade them to the Green Bay Packers, they're going to end up being, I don't know, one of the better teams in the NFC. What are those picks going to be? 27, 28, 29? That's my feeling. That's my issue. People are trying to equate this to the Doncic trade. It's ridiculous. The NBA, there's seven guys that are generational, can't move them, how do you move them, etc. The NFL, you see this stuff when we're not talking about quarterbacks. Receivers get traded. Offensive linemen get traded. Even great defensive pass rushers, they can get traded. I don't think it's Luka egregious. I just hate the way the Cowboys went about it. My feeling on the Cowboys for the year, though, I think it changes a whole lot for me. It doesn't. Like, and Michael Parsons is great. I'm not trying to disparage him. Their season depends on what their offense is going to look like. If their offense with Dak Prescott is one of the better offenses in the league and gets back to where it was 2 years ago, they're going to be in a mix to maybe be a playoff team. If it doesn't, they're going to be awful. That's my read on the Cowboys. They need that sort of offensive stability to have any chance of having success this year.
With the season about to start, what's the one thing you've heard a lot, the one consensus pick or popular opinion that you do not necessarily agree with?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a very, very good question. The consensus. Okay, let's run through what have been the big consensus plays. Everybody seems to like Denver. That's a big one. I feel like I've had a hard time finding anybody who doesn't like Denver. I like Denver. So I don't like them to win the AFC West, but I like them to go over their win total. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I like the way they're kind of set up. Trying to think of the take that a lot of people have that I don't agree with. All right, here's one. Seems like everybody's penciling in the Houston Texans to win the AFC South. I'm not doing that. I'm taking Jacksonville.
Okay.
Liam Cohen effect. Best year of Trevor Lawrence's life. I don't like Houston's offensive line. I still have questions about C.J. Stroud. Joe Mixon's done for the year. The way I see it, Will, there's chalk for the three divisions. Buffalo's winning the AFC East. Baltimore, to me, is winning the AFC North. And Kansas City is going to win the West. I know the West has talent. I know this competition will wake me up when the Chiefs don't win the West. I'm sorry. I've just been living in a world where it happens every year. I, for one, am not going to bet against it. Feel like the chalk is going to get upset in one way, shape, or form in the AFC. I'll say Jacksonville is that team. The NFC, I want to give you one. What's the consensus? I don't like Atlanta, but I kind of feel like they're split. Detroit, you can find people on both sides of the fence. Oh, here's another one. Here's another consensus one. Everyone seems to love the Bears this year. I don't. Because I'm not in the Caleb Williams corner. They are getting way too trendy and way too popular for my liking. So I hope that suffices. What would you say, out of curiosity, what would you say are like the three big consensus takes that people have going into this year? Curiously.
You know, I was asked this question a few weeks ago. I think my answer was I think the Rams people are a little too caught up in the fact that they almost beat the Eagles. Or I think that, you know, Stafford's older, and I think maybe people are off him now with the Stafford injury. So I was,
I feel like people were off the Rams.
So I was not as high on the Rams hype. And I don't buy this idea that the 49ers are just going to go right back into being like a Super Bowl contender like they were a couple years ago. There's a lot of age and injury concern on that offense. McCaffrey touched the ball 65 times last year, didn't get in the end zone, 4 yards per carry. Trent Williams is always hurt. Kittle's always hurt. McCaffrey's older and always hurt. I like Purdy, but I just don't know that Purdy's at the level where he can carry a team with lesser talent. I don't know how good they'll be defensively. I know Salah will probably do a pretty good job as defensive coordinator, but I'm not as high. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, 49ers are going to bounce right back. Chance to be the one seed, win the division, maybe, but I'm not as sold on that.
You know what? That's a very fair take. I am kind of somewhere in the middle on the Niners. I understand your skepticism about the age.
McCaffrey, easy schedule. Like, easy schedule. I get that.
It's so easy, dude. It's so easy. They're a super well-coached team. You want to tell me they don't go to the Super Bowl? Fine. I have a hard time seeing them not at 10 or 11 wins just because the schedule sets up too nicely for them. Oh, I have one more that I want to throw out there. It just dawned on me. I think people are way too high on New England. They're way too high on New England. New England's offensive line stinks. It's awful. Who is Drake May throwing the ball to? The corpse of Stephon Diggs? Pop Douglas? They're better because of Mike Vrabel. Multiple wins better. But, Will, they're better. They could be 7-10 better. In theory, they could be 6-11 better. This notion that now New England is going to be last year's Washington, I, for one, have a very, very hard time believing. That's me.
Yeah, to me, and I made this point that New England, it feels like one of those teams where everyone's on them this year to take the leap, and they disappoint you, and then everyone kind of forgets about them next year. Maybe next year is the year where they take a leap. I think they could be a year away. I agree. Again, that's another team. The schedule's pretty easy, but going from what they have, 4 wins last year to 8-9, that's asking a lot in the NFL. That's a huge, huge jump. What are your thoughts on the two New York teams?
So I have optimism with the Giants. It's weird because the schedule is horrible. Absolutely positively horrible. For them to be a last place team and play that schedule, it blows my mind. I don't know how in the world it happened, but it happened.
It is brutal. It is absolutely brutal.
That said, though, Will, I like their defense. I think the defense is going to be significantly improved. They made some adds in the secondary. Carter, I think, is going to transform their defensive line. Like, there are some young players who are like, what kind of impact can they have in the first year? He reeks of a guy that's going to come in and be a plug and play. I think their defensive line is going to be outstanding. I think Russ is going to give him professionalism early. They're going to go to Dart at some point. It's a matter of when, not if. I think the Giants could go over their win total. 5.5 I bet it over 6, which is going to surprise a lot of people. I actually kind of like the vibe they have going entering this season. I know I could have massive egg on my face with this. The Jets, on the other hand, listen, I know Aaron Glenn's coming in. He's trying to cut out the nonsense. Their offense is going to be abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. Justin Fields can't throw the ball. They don't have a number two wide receiver. They are going to struggle stopping the run. I'm not one of these people that's penciling the Jets for 7-8 wins. I think the Jets are a 5-win team. I think the Giants, 6 or 7. Jets, 5 or 6. That's kind of where I see both teams.
So you said you're going to be in Vegas for the contest. Are you doing Survivor and the Millions?
I'm doing both. Shocking.
Me too.
Yeah, as I love to say, 2 donations.
Yes. Yeah, you never know. It's a lottery. It's a fun lottery ticket to buy.
One hell of a lottery ticket to put in my daughter's college fund. That would be nice.
Yes. All right. So what are you thinking for Survivor, and what are you thinking for your 5 Circa Millions picks?
Okay. Survivor, I feel like the popular pick without question is going to be Denver. Would you agree?
Yes. I think some people might want to save them, but boy, it gets risky, man. If you don't want them, unless you trust Washington, you can say this about every week, but week one, man, is super, super tricky.
I don't like Washington at all. At all. I would not touch that game. Division game, I think the Giants are – Giants plus 6.5 is going to be one of my plays on Friday. I would be stunned if it's not. I think the Giants are going to be in that game. I think it's going to be tight. I think Washington is a regression team this year. I have Giants circled as a potential Circa Millions play. But Survivor, I'm leaning towards the Arizona Cardinals. The Saints stink, dude. They stink. And then how many opportunities am I going to have to use the Cardinals? Now, I want to remind you something. Well, I was in this exact pool a year ago. I went with the Bengals week one against New England. One and done. Not great. So that's why I am like very hesitant on just giving the stock Denver, you know, easy play, because watch Cam Ward go and make my day miserable in the process. So I'm leaning Arizona. That's subject to change, but I'm leaning Arizona. Now, games that I'm eyeing. I haven't locked in my card yet, but I'm pretty sure I like Jacksonville laying the 3.5 against Carolina. I am not a Carolina fan at all. To me, what they did at the end of the last season means nothing in the grand scheme of what you're going to see at the beginning of this year. I think they put up a lot of extended garbage numbers. They played a couple of bad teams. And I'm bullish on Jacksonville. So I almost feel as if I got to kind of parlay that week one right out of the gate. I like the Jags week one. I like the Steelers week one. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, take the Jets, take the points. Glenn makes it ugly. Low scoring type of game. The Jet offense, how are they moving the ball on the Steelers? That's my problem with that game. And I trust Aaron Rodgers, just simply put, a lot more than I trust Justin Fields. I know that'll be a public play. I don't care. I like Pittsburgh in that spot. And the other one I'm eyeing is Green Bay against Detroit. Because Detroit now, in the position of new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, kind of a team that's maybe going to have a little bit of a feeling out process over the first few weeks. I think we can take advantage of that. And the line's moving in my favor with that one, because I bet it at 1.5. It's now at 2.5. Those are three I like, and I mentioned the Giants. I think the Giants are absolutely live in that game against Washington. So that's like the card as far as leans are concerned. The two I've bet are Jacksonville, and I've bet what's the other one? Green Bay. I bet those two. Those are two games I've already bet. Kind of like Baltimore, too. That's the other one I'm thinking about with Buffalo, because Buffalo's got a lot of problems on defense at the moment. And the revenge factor of Baltimore losing that game in the divisional round. I think they'll be juiced up, ready to go.
I'll give you one. You can't use it for a contest, but I'll give you one from a betting perspective. I love Green Bay. And you can find these at DraftKings, a bunch of different books. To get the first down, to score first, and to win the first quarter. Because all of these teams defer when they win the toss. Green Bay takes the ball, and they took it all preseason. So it's very likely Green Bay is going to start with the ball. So you can get a minus 130 for the first quarter. Chances are you get the first possession, 2 out of the 3 first possessions. And I think minus 130 for the first quarter is a good one with Green Bay.
I like that. What's your favorite play right now for week one?
Oh, boy. It's really hard. I like Atlanta getting 2.5 against Tampa. I would love a three. I would love a three. They swept them last year, too. That's a good home field. I think they're evenish teams. I would love to get the full three, but I don't think I'm going to get it. But Atlanta is certainly one I'm looking at. And I think they're going to stink, too. And I'm pretty high on Arizona for the year, and I can understand using them in Survivor. I just don't know. Like, Arizona laying 7 on the road to anybody, to me, is one where you just almost automatically have to take the point the other way. Again, we're sitting at 6.5. I don't know if you get the full 7, and there's a huge difference between 6.5 and 7. So I guess it's a long-winded answer way of saying I don't know. Week 1 is very hard. I usually stick to a rule of do not lay points, because Week 1, dogs usually do well. There's so much uncertainty. I mean, we saw it last week with college, where you could sit here and talk yourself into having all these takes, all these opinions, all these bets. What do we really know week 1 of the NFL season? So I think when in doubt, take the points. But very tricky here trying to come up with 5 picks for week 1.
Fair. And, you know, you mentioned the Saints plus the points being a stinker. The Browns-Bengals game.
I know.
That same vibe.
Yep.
Same vibe. The only thing is Cincinnati, one of these years – You think, okay, week 1, they come out and they're ready to play. But Browns, historically speaking, give them a lot of trouble. Like, when I was going through the card, that was – Browns were passed for me in that game.
Yeah, they played 2 years in the opener. Browns beat them 24-3 in Cleveland. So, since he's lost 3 years in a row in the opener, they lost 4 out of 5 for whatever that's worth. And the one they won was against Minnesota. I remember the game as a Viking fan where they got very fortunate with a Dalvin Cook fumble call that, you know, he looked down and looked like the Vikings were going to win that game. Last one on football. Who's your Super Bowl pick? Who's in it? Who wins it?
Okay. My Super Bowl pick. Wait on it. Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Kansas City Chiefs. I actually think people are trying to talk themselves into the likes of Baltimore and Buffalo. And the problem is, wake me up when Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson go and beat the Big Bad Wolf. They haven't beaten the Big Bad Wolf. So to me, hands down, Kansas City until I see otherwise. NFC, I'm going to throw you a shocker. I want it to be different. I don't think the Eagles will repeat. Green Bay has gotten way too trendy. Thought about San Francisco and then decided against it. How about Baker Mayfield and the Tampa
Bay? Oh, that's an interesting one.
Years. They're going to win their division. I'm a Baker Mayfield stan, and I want to be a little different. Kansas City over Tampa. Another Chief rematch. They tend to get a lot of these rematches
in the
Super Bowl. They've gotten the Eagles twice. They've gotten the Niners twice. Now they get the Bucks.
Boy, I don't think I've heard anyone pick the Bucks to go to Super Bowl. That is a different one.
That's good. Makes me feel better, you know.
Absolutely, that's it's good to be on an island with some of these. Baseball. Who's winning the AL East?
Ooh, great question. Boston Red Sox.
Wow.
Toronto's coming back to the pack. I don't trust the Yankees against the good teams. I'm going to say the Red Sox.
That was a terrible loss Toronto had on Monday. I'm sure you saw it, where they're down 2-1 going into the ninth. They get a little dribbler leadoff infield single from Guerrero. Then they hit back-to-back homers. Bichette and it was maybe Varsho hit one. They're up 4-2. You figure, wow, they're going to steal this game. And then they spit it up in the ninth. I'm with you. I think Toronto's coming back to the pack. I was just from a Yankees-Toronto's perspective, the fact that Toronto has the tiebreaker and still a little bit of a lead, I think it's going to be hard for the Yankees. Not impossible. The Yankees' schedule is about to get a little harder with Astros, Blue Jays, Tigers, Red Sox. So I don't think it's going to be the Yankees. But the Red Sox are that team just kind of lying in the weeds now. It's interesting.
Yeah, and the Yankees have a prayer to go and win this thing. It's amazing because they felt dead and buried in the division. They played Cupcake City. They made up about 4.5 games in the standings. They could win the AL East. It's not inconceivable, but it's going to require them doing something they have not done throughout the course of the year. Beat good teams, and more specifically, beat the teams in their division. They got through with Toronto. They got through with Boston. They want to win the division. They got to play well in those games.
This has been a strange season, has it not, for the Yankees? I mean, it started out the first couple months. All right, feel-good story. They're overachieving. They're fine without Soto. They're getting contributions from Goldschmidt and all these new guys. You know, torpedo bats for a little bit. And then they played so badly. Now they played well again. I don't know what to expect from them. I think ultimately the defense, the base running, just the lack of fundamentals will ultimately bite them. But, boy, it's been an odd year for the Yankees, to say the least.
Yeah. Listen, the best thing they have going for them, the sport is wide open. Both leagues are wide open. The Yankees have their flaws, their warts, their deficiencies, all of it. Get in the playoffs and figure out your best brand of baseball for 3 weeks in October, and you could rewrite a whole lot.
the 12 teams that would make the playoffs if they started today, those are the 12 we're going to get, you think?
Well, that's a good question. Let me take a look right now. So you have in the NL, you have Milwaukee, you have Philly, you have the Dodgers. Then you have the Padres, you have the Cubs, and you have the Mets as your wild cards. Yes, National League, that'll be the field, 100%. American League. Detroit, Toronto, and Houston are going to make it. The Yankees and the Red Sox are going to make it. Why do I have a weird feeling Seattle's going to collapse and miss the playoffs? Because I feel like they do this every year.
They're hard to trust.
I have a ticket on Texas. I'd like to see them in the playoffs. At least it's a ticket. It's Bochy, DeGrom. Yeah, let's be different. Let's say Texas takes Seattle's spot.
That would be the one, because like you said, I think the NL is set, and we're recording this Tuesday before the games have started here. Texas won again on Monday, won in extras against Arizona. Only a game and a half out entering play here Tuesday. So that would be the one that's, I think, kind of up for grabs. Can somebody catch Seattle? Boy, that'd be a disaster with all of their pitching. They trade for Suarez. They trade for Naylor. You know, they got this great season from Raleigh. If they actually fell out of it and missed the playoffs, if Texas was under 500 like a week ago. If Seattle fell out of it, that would be just a disaster for them.
No question. Baseball would be drooling about these wild card series, though. Well, they would have Dodgers, Mets, and Yankees, Red Sox. Are you kidding me? They'd be like, where do we sign? You put the Yankees on at 6. You put the Dodgers and the Mets on at 9. People are going to be dancing in those Park Avenue offices if those are the games.
Those are great matchups. Absolutely great matchups. Do you have a feel for the Mets here once the playoffs start? I mean, they still have the great Soto, Alonso, Lindor trio. They've gotten a little too cute trying to piece the starting pitching together. Maybe these young guys can give them a boost with McClain and Tong and these guys. What's your feeling here on the Mets?
They're going to make the playoffs. The issue I have, their pitching is a mess. I don't know how it's solved between now and the end of the year, personally. I don't. Like, if they match up with the Dodgers, I think the Dodgers are going to pound their pitching. Pound it. They will absolutely pound their pitching. So I do not feel great about the Mets and their chances of going deep. I don't like the vibe at all, personally.
I can't believe how bad Manaea has been. You almost have to shelve Manaea and just hope these young guys. And
Senga. That both of
Senga,
them.
Too.
Been awful.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful.
What World Series pick right now? Who would you pick? Two teams and who wins it?
Great question. You know it won't be the chalk. You know, I really hope I'm wrong on this. I think Boston could go to the World Series. I really hope I'm wrong. In the NL, you know, the Wheeler injury kills the Phillies. Absolutely kills the Phillies. I'll say Dodgers, Red Sox. And I don't feel great about that for what it's worth. At all. At all. You know what's the problem, Will? I don't like any of these teams.
You could tell me any of the 12 teams that get in and win the World Series, I would not bat an eyelash. I really think it's that wide open. If you get in, you know what? Best 2 out of 3, best and 3 out of 5.
Best baseball.
And just get hot, hope the ball bounces your way. I wouldn't be shocked. Any of the 12 that make it, I don't know, out of the 12 playoff teams right now, who would be most surprised that you made it? I'd be a little surprised if the Yankees made it just with the year they've had and the bullpen and Boone. I don't quite trust them. So Yankees would surprise me, but it wouldn't shock me. I don't know. Do you have a team that you're like, wow, I can't believe this team made it?
It's going to sound crazy with the record and the way they've played this year, but Milwaukee's been so bad in these postseasons.
Yeah.
You're telling me now Milwaukee all of a sudden is going to go to World Series? Like, I can see them winning a round. They're going to have the one seed probably in the NL. It sounds insane because you're like, hold on a second, JJ, they have been as good as anybody since like the end of April. That's true. I just will be very surprised if we're talking about the Milwaukee Brewers in the World Series. Very surprised.
I'm very skeptical of them as well. The only thing I was like, and it's such a stupid reason, the ghost of Bob Uecker, it feels like, has been with them in some of these games.
Maybe.
And they've had a little magic, maybe. But I'm with you. I don't like them. I don't think they hit enough homers. Mizorowski's going to be on an innings limit. What are you going to get out of him in October? Peralta and Woodruff are good, but I'm with you. They feel like more of a regular season team than a postseason team.
Yeah, and their odds have skyrocketed. I mean, all you need to know is outside the Dodgers, they got everybody separated between 8 and 15 to 1, which tells you they don't have the slightest idea.
Yeah.
Books don't know.
And And I think it's a situation where if you really, in terms of like betting, if you're going to pull the trigger on someone, you could just pick whatever team you like and go round by round. There's no reason to take a shot ahead of time. I think that I know people like to have that ticket. And you know, if you're talking like World Series exact matchup, that's one thing. But if you think, all right, I think, you know, the Red Sox are going to win the World Series, I guess you could make that bet now. But you're just as well just going round by round once you get in the playoffs. So you have so many different steps of the playoffs now that might be a way to play it.
Easy. I think I had Texas at the beginning of the year. I don't feel worried about that. I'd like to get them in the playoffs. Red Sox, Dodgers. And I didn't think the Dodgers would repeat, but just the way it's set up, if they can get some pitching back, they can maybe turn it on and do what they need to do and just find their way to back-to-back.
Yeah, and I thought the Padres could catch them and would catch them for that division. They pulled the head last week. They had a chance to go up two, but they lost that game, and the Padres have played terribly since. So it's probably going to be the Dodgers winning that division, especially since they have that tiebreaker.
Yeah, I like the Padres, though. They're a spunky team. The team I would be out on is the Cubs. I don't care what their run differential is. That's a team I'll be very surprised during the World Series.
Yeah.
Very surprised, because I don't like their pitching at all.
All right, JJ, this was fun, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Anytime, my man. Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Ringer, New York, New York, SNY, where else can we find you?
You nailed it. Who needs anything else? And we'll have the Ringer Sunday pregame show starting 11:30 Eastern. You want to check that out on YouTube, streaming live. And we got all our Ringer gambling stuff 5 days a week, noon Eastern as well.
Appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon.
Anytime. Thanks, buddy.
All right, that will do it. Thank you to John Jastrzemski. Enjoy the games. The NFL is officially back by the time you listen to this, either today, tomorrow. We are there. So rate, review, subscribe. Mentioned this on the last pod. The pod is under a new feed, so you're going to have to resubscribe. And feel free to leave us a review, leave us a rating. Those really help us out. But we'll be back Friday. Break down Cowboys-Eagles, react to everything we saw, picks for week one, and everything that comes with the NFL. So be back Friday. Appreciate you listening. See you then.